NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Darian Woods.
And Darian, I brought something into the studio with me today, a little prop.
Yes.
Because you told me today's story was going to be about Pepsi, particularly bottles of Pepsi.
That's right.
So I got Pepsi.
So I want you to unscrew the lid and look under the bottle top. Put the top to the mic. I want to hear that refreshing, crisp, open sound. Oh, that's it.
Okay.
Now, what's under the bottle top?
It's a series of letters and some numbers.
Okay, so like a serial code.
Yeah, BNMMN, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm here to tell you about a story of a pretty similar promotional campaign that Pepsi ran back in 1992, where that number under that bottle top, Stacey, could have made you a millionaire in the Philippines.
What?
It was actually this huge fiasco. Here's economics writer and friend of the show, Tim Harford.
It was called Number Fever. Pepsi were basically promising to make a millionaire of just, I mean, not everybody, but a huge number of people.
I mean, I love Pepsi. It's delicious. I'm skeptical of its power to make people millionaires and still turn a profit.
That was never their plan. This was a huge mistake.
Oh.
Probably among the most egregious mistakes ever made in the history of advertising promotional campaigns.
Today on the show, promotions and companies that have failed to do the math in a big way. Sales and stunts that promised huge rewards and ended in disaster.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Wondery. Their newest series, Secret Sauce, explores the stories and successes behind some of the most inspiring businesses and intrepid entrepreneurs. First up is Airbnb. Listen to Secret Sauce wherever you listen to podcasts. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. Details at CapitalOne.com. What's in your wallet? Credit approval required. Capital One Bank, USA, NA.
Victoria and Juanito Angelo were a couple living in Manila, in the Philippines. They had a pretty hard life. Juanito worked as a rickshaw driver, and the whole family lived in a tin roof shack. But they had a dream. Tim Harford talked about this in his Cautionary Tales podcast.
And that dream is that they'll win a very unusual lottery. The lottery is called Number Fever.
Number Fever?
And the lottery numbers are printed on the inside of bottle tops on bottles of Pepsi.
They sat down every night to watch numbers drawn on TV. If the number from your bottle top was drawn in one grand prize, you could win ₱1,000,000. That's equivalent to about $40,000.
That is a lot of money in the Philippines in 1992, a life-changing amount of money for Victoria and Juanito if they were ever to win it. But of course, you know, it's just that one grand prize. What are the chances they would ever win?
What was their number?
The number was 349. And one evening, they are watching the television and the lottery draw is held and the number comes up. And it's 349. They can't believe it.
Got $40,000.
Yeah, ₱1,000,000. You know, the children can go to college. Juanito doesn't have to work as a rickshaw driver anymore. I mean, it would be like winning $1,000,000 in the US today.
But Pepsi messed up and 800,000 bottle tops were printed with the winning number 349. So for Victoria and Juanito?
The way I imagine this is that they run out onto the streets to celebrate. And everybody else is on the streets and they're celebrating too because they all have the number 349 on their bottle tops.
Okay, so they're all going to be millionaires?
Yeah, well, you'd think.
Pepsi was on the hook for at least $15 billion. To put that number into perspective, that was about half the Philippines' entire annual income. As you can imagine, this wasn't going to end well. We'll let you know how that turned out in a bit, because when Tim looked into the story, he got obsessed with lots of other failed promotion campaigns.
That got me thinking, hang on, there were all sorts of horror stories of these deals going wrong.
So the case of Pepsi's Number Fever promotion, that's clearly a mistake. But sometimes you get these promotions that seem too good to be true, but they're not necessarily a mistake, are they?
No, sometimes they're just hoping that the customers don't notice how good the deal is and they don't really follow through with the maths.
Right.
The other thing that I think is very common indeed is exploiting something called breakage rates.
Breakage rates is the industry term for how many people fail to follow up on offers. And companies intentionally try to increase breakage rates by making it hard for the customer to follow through. Like you have to sign up to a complicated website and type in a long string of numbers, that kind of thing.
One example is in the 1990s in the UK, Hoover offered free transatlantic flights with any Hoover appliance. Wow. So buy yourself a cheap washing machine, a cheap vacuum cleaner, and you get to fly across the Atlantic. I think it was a pair of tickets.
Not bad.
And they just bet that the breakage rate would be high enough that this would work out for them. They would sell a lot of appliances, but people just wouldn't be able to follow through. The flights they were offered would be deliberately inconvenient. You'd have to fill in a form to get another form, and then you'd have to fill in the second form and all of this stuff. In fact, people in Scotland were being offered free flights only from London, which is hundreds of miles away, and people who lived near London were being offered free flights only if they went up to Scotland.
That is evil.
It's really evil. And it didn't play well for Hoover when that was discovered.
Wow.
There was one infamous example where a guy brought a washing machine from Hoover in order to get the free flights. And he was really having trouble claiming his free offer. And then to add insult to injury, the washing machine broke down. So then the guy comes from Hoover to fix the washing machine. And they're having this conversation. And he backs his horse box, the horse trailer, across the driveway. So he effectively takes the washing machine repairman's van hostage. So this van, this truck is parked in the driveway, can't get out. And he says, all right, now you walk home and you can tell them that when I get my flights, you'll get your van. And he just became a national hero. Everybody was talking about this story.
Wow. So if you actually do the sums and you notice that a company's promotion is a really, really good deal, maybe seems too good to be true, but what are the factors that increase your likelihood that you as the customer will actually get that payout?
Well, there's one factor that you can't control, but it's worth thinking about, which is how expensive is it going to be for the company to keep its promise? In the case of Number Fever, it's $15 billion. Like, it's super expensive. But some of these other deals, there are only a few customers who notice, and it's not really a big deal for the company to pay out. The other thing is something you can affect, and that is how bad will it make the company look if they refuse to keep their promises? I suppose the interesting cases are where the reputational risk is huge, but also it's incredibly expensive to follow through. Then the company's in a really, really difficult situation. That's the situation Hoover was in. So in the end, it cost them this huge amount of money.
So what happened in the end with Number Fever in the Philippines?
They said basically, look, there's a mistake. And they said, look, anybody who's got the 349, we're going to give them, I think it was the equivalent of $20, but it's certainly not $40,000. It's not £1 million pesos.
It's not life-changing.
So that meant that the people who'd got these 349 bottle tops, they had to make a decision. Do I fight or do I settle? And of course, different people made different decisions. It's really a very sad story. I mean, Pepsi's reputation in the country was trashed. People were threatening physical violence against Pepsi employees. Mm. Somebody threw a bomb at a Pepsi truck, which ended up bouncing off and killing two people, one of them a five-year-old child.
It's tragic.
And in the end, of course, Pepsi couldn't pay, didn't pay. It went all the way to the Supreme Court in the Philippines, and the Supreme Court said, yeah. I mean, it was obviously a mistake.
Huh.
They don't have to pay. And so in the end, the people who took the goodwill payments, they, I think, were the ones who correctly assessed the situation. This was a screw-up. I can get a small payment. I will never get what I was promised. And they were right.
Tim Harford, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
You can find more Parables of Disaster at the Cautionary Tales podcast. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Emma Peasley and Brittany Cronin with help from Gilly Moon. It was fact-checked by Sam Tsai and edited by Kate Kincannon. This is NPR. Thanks for listening.